Thanks for listening to the Calgary Business Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Wozni. Today's episode is part of a special series with Errol Voss, titled Errol's Eye On. Errol is a native of Canada and currently lives and works in China. At 23, Errol manufactured and branded his own product line overseas and ran his first marketing campaign across North America. Not only did this campaign convert over $35,000 in its first month, it also sparked his interest in the nuances of marketing. Today, Errol works with companies in China, United States, Canada, Australia, India, and Malaysia, developing marketing strategies that boost customer acquisition and maximize revenue. Errol has been featured in tech magazines, blogs, radio shows, podcasts, and marketing conferences. The Daily Cup of Tech lists Errol as one of today's top digital marketing professionals. Kerwaba Magazine calls Errol a leading marketing mind in China. I hope you enjoy the Errol's Eye On series, whereby Errol Voss will seek to provide you with practical advice on doing business. Whether you work in a startup, a medium-sized enterprise, or a multinational organization. I invite you to subscribe to the Calgary Business Podcast from whatever app you access your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and even Amazon Music. I also invite you to leave a review. This will allow others to easily find the Calgary Business Podcast, including all episodes in the Errol's Eye On series. Once again, thanks for listening, and have a great day.
This meeting is being recorded.
Errol Voss, good morning and welcome to Errol's Eye On with Errol Voss. Errol, is this meeting being recorded? I want to be clear.
This meeting is being recorded. We are live.
Well, I'm Alan Wozni, and you know, as always, joining me at top, you're in the Great Wall of China today. I heard the Errol. You made the journey to the Great Wall, have you?
Yeah, I'm streaming live from the east side of the Great Wall right now.
I know we talked about this before, but the Great Wall, how far away is it from your, how far is it? Is there anywhere near the wall close to where you are?
The Great Wall will be up north, and I'm in Hangzhou, which
is in the south.
Yeah, so I'm guessing it would be like a 5-hour train ride away, high speed train,
wow.
Or 6-hour, yeah.
So you, because it goes like 17,000 kilometers or miles or so, it goes forever across different
it's
parts
a
of China.
Long wall, yeah, it's a big wall. Yeah, I've been to it one time.
Yeah, I have. I in Beijing took young girls. It was a long time ago, but all right. Well, Errol, good evening to you. But what do you have your eye on today? This, you know, by the way, this is Errol's Eye On, episode number 12.
Yeah, and for today's episode, I want to talk about three ways to make your company, your business more efficient.
Okay.
Yes.
Errol, I really, you know, efficiency is, I mean, workplaces, people are working from remotely, they're working from home, they work from the library, they work from, this is making your workplaces more efficient. This is really, I think it's going to be valuable. So I'll let you, without further ado,
Definitely.
Let's dive right in. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much change going on with working remote, right? So that's a whole nother, I mean, well, it is part of this topic as well, but there's so much we can dive into. I'm going to dive into three. So my first way to make your company more efficient is to have a software guy. And what I mean by that is have a person whose dedicated role is to find softwares that's going to help your team, help everyone at the company and make their lives easier. And a big part of that is finding software to help automate processes.
It's interesting that you, because I listened to a podcast about 3-4 years ago, and it was on the Andreessen Horowitz podcast. And I remember this, why? Because they started the podcast talking about GIF or JIF, right? And then he went into the details. Like, I should actually find, I'll find that one. He said, today's end user, they want the app on the fingertips, meaning they want to have that power. And it used to be maybe 15, 20 years ago where the IT controlled that narrative, your standard load set, You know, your PC has to be loaded, or I didn't use Macs, I used PCs, and they always controlled. They gave you the laptop, was scrubbed down, or you know, this is it. You can't put anything on without our permission. And it seems that now you're going back to that, Errol. You're going back to the future.
It really has to start at the user, right? So this is how the system works when you have a dedicated software guy. There needs to be a good communication loop where everyone at the company can feedback, can create a feedback to the software guy and say, hey, this is some of the tasks that I'm doing that's taking a long time. These are some of my difficulties, my struggles. Can you please find a piece of software that's going to help me? So that's one way. Another way is the software guy on your team actively goes out and finds pieces of automation software to help plug into the team. Yeah. I will say this, though. When you're trying to find software that's going to help your company, you don't want to just type in, automation software. What you want to do is start at your need, right? So if you are every day I'm plugging in this information into the spreadsheet, I'm going over and over and over, it's taking up an hour or two a day, you actually just want to hit up Google and say software for, and then type in what task you're doing, because there's a really good chance that if you're doing a task that's taking a long time out of your day, someone has created a piece of software for you and it's really going to help.
No, it's incredible. The tech stack is constantly evolving and changing. So no one in my, I learned this and no one person can handle it. I learned this in cybersecurity. I worked for a cybersecurity company for about 6 months back in 2018. And literally what I learned is the software, the cybersecurity stack. This is one area. It is literally, there's so many options for the, where you could put entry points, or, where the security failures could exist, the central point of failure. No one person can handle that. How do you say that IT person, you say guy, could be a woman as well, but that IT person, I'll neutralize that one. But what do you say to them, or, what do you say to people? I mean, Google's going to give you a different ranking depending on who's paid the ads or whatever. How do you, find that software that you need? Is it just that one person's going to, that's a heavy burden.
Exactly. Well, you know what? The way that my team is set up, anyone can find a piece of software and say, hey, check this out. This might help us. But a big part about using the software is learning how to use the software and implementing it onto the team, right? And that's where the software person comes in. They're going to find the software, or they get recommended from someone on the team. Then they're going to figure out how to use it, how to implement it. Then they hold a little training session with everyone. Hey, guys, this is the piece of software. This is how you use it. I'm going to make it easy for you. So find it, train on it, and implement it. Those are the three steps. And that's why this software person is crucial. I wouldn't say crucial, but it's really going to help your company. So you don't need to hire someone whose only job is to be the software person, but you should that's what I did when I was hiring someone for some e-commerce stuff, but I looked at their skills. This person is actually a coder, a programmer. So I said, well, you've obviously been across a lot of softwares. I said, I'm looking for someone who can do this. So about half of this person's job is just my software guy. The other half is e-commerce, and it's been really good for everyone in the company.
Brilliant. No, but the recommendation is solid. It's as we've come full circle, even that in the front line, your staff, as you said, some of they're doing manual, or some people, your clients are doing manual labor, routine tasks, right? Do you have a recommendation for any software to help people with that manual processes? I think you mentioned that you and I talked offline.
There are so many softwares out there to help with so many different processes. And I think that would be an episode on its own. Yeah. I think that would be an episode on its own, because I can really get into a bunch. And there's so many that I don't know that I'd like to do research to bring to this table as well. But any process that you find yourself doing manually, you find yourself taking time, you find that's difficult, anything online, anything on a computer, there's probably a piece of software that can really help with the heavy lifting, take a lot of the time off your hands and get you going, working much faster.
It's funny that you and I talked in the previous episode, we talked about SEO, or search engine optimization, and literally I must get inundated, not weekly, but very often, inundated on LinkedIn and other, even email, just saying we do automate that SEO creation process. So I don't know if there's any software to automate that process for your clients, but you mentioned once it was called Feedback Whiz. Is that something you've heard of, you work with?
Okay, so Feedback Whiz is an example of a really good piece of e-commerce automation software.
Yeah.
And this is a great story to explain how a software person on your team can really help everything. So on our 10 to 12 person e-commerce team, there's one task on Amazon where if someone buys from you on the Amazon platform, there's a way that you can send them a reminder to, hey, leave feedback, leave a review. It's in the Amazon dashboard. And the way to do that is there's a long list of all your orders and you manually click, click, okay, remind, click, click, click. Our software person, our software guy, David, he found a piece of software that automatically reaches out to those people. So a task that one person on our team was sitting and taking hours to do every day.
Yeah.
Now we have a piece of software that's automatically reaching out to people every single day. It works in the background and it's asking people for more reviews and for feedback. And yeah, so that has completely taken a big manual task and made it almost non-existent for us. Now we just reap the rewards and we don't really have to do any work for it.
That's just very practical for particularly the clients that you have, or you know, your own business. If you're focused on e-commerce and or you're, you know, you want to make sure you're giving that feedback, that's actually a very valuable or practical thing. It reminds me, the fellow, he had an Airbnb in Paris. He only had two of them, but he was that same thing. I don't know if he used automation software, but he had a push notification, which was built into the Airbnb. It was built into that. And it reminds me that there was something to send a push notification reminding the tenant or someone who stayed, you know, in the apartment to give a review. And so that push notification, you know, he wanted it no matter what, if it was negative or positive. Most often it was, but it reminded people to stimulate them as soon as they signed out. So that's built into Airbnbs. Yeah.
See, that's a good example. So some people, they might go around that task like this. They manually look at all of the orders, anyone who's ordered from their Airbnb, and then they manually send an email. Hey, if you don't mind, can you please leave a review?
That's right.
Some people are still working like that. But a good example is that push notification automates that. It automatically follows up for them, right? So a lot of platforms have built-in automation software, and there's still a lot of external automation software that can really help you on e-commerce or pretty much anything online.
It's incredible, though. I guess you have to look for that automation when people sometimes, you know, it's like that expression, you can't see the forest through the trees or whatever that is. You literally are so immersed in your staff. I'm going back to my point earlier, was about the IT person or guy or girl that is important if they funnel it to somebody who's helping the staff. So let's go. So that's one. That was number one, Errol. Do you have a second one?
Yeah, sure. Number two, how to make your company, your business more efficient. And that is introducing a task management system. Yeah, and we've talked about my favorite recommendation. We've talked about this in the past. I recommend a piece of software called Monday.com.
Oh, yes.
Task management. Yeah, so the reason why I like to use task management, a big part is that, you know, working has moved a lot to remote. And a task management system, it puts a date on everything, right? So it helps the whole team stay on target. It also creates transparency. Let's say there's a task that involves three different departments and 10 different people, right?
Yeah.
Using a task management system like Monday.com, the whole team, whether you're a copywriter, whether you're a graphic designer, whether you are the director of everything, whether you're managing this task, everyone on the team can get a bird's eye view of the whole task. So the copywriter can see, oh, I need to get my copy finished by the 10th, because starting on the 12th to the 14th, the graphics department is taking my copy and making it into a brochure. And then the brochure, after the graphics team, they can see, oh, after this, from the 13th to the 15th, the salespeople are taking that piece of content and putting it in an email. Or, you know, that's just an example. But when you give your entire team a bird's eye view of a task in its entirety, It helps everyone understand why they are doing what they're doing. It helps everyone understand why the deadline is important. And I just find it creates a lot of fluidity in work in general for
any So you use this quite often, and it sounds like it would be for simple tasks and more complex this project, almost a project management as well, because it's. I mean, there are software on that when you go to scale, if you scale that. So it sounds like Monday.com isn't the only one, but they're pretty well known. I think we had this discussion.
It's well known. And another reason why I really like Monday.com is because whenever you're introducing a piece of software to your team, a big part of it is how easy it is to use. And I love Monday.com because it's super easy to use, super easy to integrate, and it's nice and visual. And that's the way that I like to work. I'm very visual. So I highly recommend Monday.com to create efficiency in your company.
Okay. So this is task. What if you're just, is it multiple person teams? I mean, remote teams? Because this sounds like it could be working even if you're in the office or remotely, both. It sounds like it's complicated because even people 100%. Working in an office, just knowing people are busy in their office. So if you have this task manager, I mean, I'm going back to my days as an auditor, this could be mm-hmm. built-in software. I don't know, they were automated to the nines 20 years ago. And I still think that, the big four, PwC, I listened to a podcast recently, PwC's on a really big, global initiative that started in the US. And it's about the teams, I think it was my PwC or something like that. But it's literally everything input. It's kind of like they're trying to integrate a lot of things. But task management is just, everyone's always doing something every day. So I think this is, sounds very valuable. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? And I work hybrid. I work remote and I also go into the office, and right. Monday.com task management is great for both. One thing that I don't like is just to give someone a passing to give them a task. Hey, Ashley, can you create this, blah, 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 blah. If you give someone a task in passing, you never know if they're really going to get it done. Whereas on Monday with task management, you actually write it into the system. And that way it's there to remind them. It's there to remind you. You put a solid due date on it. And then you can kind of meet and talk on that task. It puts it into writing. And as soon as you get something down in writing, it really helps, it helps organization in general.
You just took me back to a place when I was in Kazakhstan, and at the end of the day, I'd usually think of what I could give, because I'd stayed late, and in the morning, the assistant I had, it was very manual. I used to write on pieces of paper, one to 10 or whatever it was. Like I'd make little white pieces, all yellow stickies or white, whatever I had. And I'd say, could you do this, because I'd think of what could I get her to do first thing when I'm not there, or just first thing. And it was literally those tasks, but they're manually written. Wow. If I could just put that in, can you do this tomorrow? And then she gets a push notification when she logged on in the morning. It would have been so much more efficient.
100%. That's the value. And you know what? So it's great for assigning tasks, and it's also great. So this is great for inside companies. But if you're a single person, a single company, there's just one or two of you. I use Monday.com for all of my individual tasks. I have everything that I need to do. It's in there. So I don't like thinking about the big picture too much. I like to plan the big picture and then break that down into tasks, into little steps. And then I kind of turn my brain off and focus on the single steps. And that's exactly what Monday allows. So it really helps with individual task management and team task management. And you can do that remote. You can do that anywhere. So that's the power of it.
So, Errol, I just one last question, and on that, the Monday, because what if it's Tuesday or Friday? What do you do? I mean, how do you reconcile the day in your head?
See, that's the beauty of Monday.com. Not only does it work on Monday, but it works on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Sunday as well.
Okay, so it's not just related to Monday, because there's a song called "Why," "Tell Me Why I Don't Like Mondays," and I think so Monday really has a connotation, Errol, and I think. I love it. So if it's Sunday, you can still use it on Monday. Or you can still use Monday.
Yeah, and you know what? That's another great point. People are like, oh, Mondays are difficult. I think Mondays are difficult because that's when you come into the office. You might have a little bit of brain fog. It's kind of hard to get into the rhythm of things, right? Yeah. But with Monday.com, with this task management system, you come in, the first thing you do is you pull up your task management system, and it just tells you what to do. So usually when I'm going into work, I don't really know what I'm going to be doing that day. But I know that I know that it's in my task management system. And I know as soon as I get in, I'm going to be able to get going because it's all there. So it's really nice in that respect.
So for the benefit of the two listeners out there, viewers, Errol, you are not getting compensated by Monday.com for your, you're not promoting them in that sense.
I'm not getting compensated by Monday.com for promoting them, but at this rate, they really should start compensating me. I think it's been the third time on our podcast where I've given them praise. So shout out once again to Monday.com and hit me up for some compensation.
All right. So Errol, I think you mentioned at the outset that we're going to have three, and that's two. So we've introduced tax management, you have the software person or guy or girl. What's the third one, Errol?
The third one, a great way to make your company more efficient is to cut down on meetings. Meetings, they are a double-edged sword. They can be great. They can be efficient. They can get things done. They can really set a clear path for action. On the other side, meetings can be messy. They can be inefficient. They can be a waste of time, and they can really be expensive. So cutting down on meetings and making meetings more efficient, making meetings more to the point, more planned, is a great way to increase company efficiency.
You know, it's funny that you say that, and it goes back. Errol, you've lost your Errol's boss behind you. Look behind you, Errol. But the, you know, I go back to my first day of training at Ernst & Young here in Calgary, and it was meetings, bloody meetings, you know, and it was a series done by John Cleese, and it was the humorous side of it. But this was like, they were old grainy videos. And even today, you know, like this whole, there's a funny series. I don't know if I've sent it to you, where it's that real-time meetings conference call. And again, making a play on it, how, you know, conference, this was about 5-6 years ago, the conference call, and it was like, you know, I'm dialed in, I'm in. And now I'm sure people are going to make a similar one where the Zoom meetings, right? So I don't think meetings, it's incredible as the ages go, right? The technology changes, people are still stuck in laborious meetings. So I just want to say, when I grew up, when I first started working for Ernst & Young, we had the meetings, bloody meetings video. Like this was 1989. So we're talking a long time ago. And John Cleese did the series. And it today, there's still, I see people using conference calling as a, you know, as a play, a parody on meetings. I still see literature on this. So how do you cut down on, you make meetings more efficient?
Yeah, well, yeah. So first step is, yeah, make the meeting itself more efficient or just have less meetings. So how do we make the meeting more efficient? I would say the meeting needs to be planned by someone. So come in with a clear plan, and the plan can be right down to like timelines. Okay, we're going to talk on this for 10 minutes, this and this. A meeting shouldn't be a place where you come to collect your thoughts. Thoughts should be collected beforehand, and you come to the meeting and you kind of talk on those thoughts, right? So just making sure meetings are more efficient, that they're being ran by someone, can really help with the meeting itself. But the really big way to make your company more efficient is to have less meetings, having less meetings. And so I have a piece of software that's really great for cutting down on the amount of meetings you have. And that piece of software is called Loom.
Oh.
Yeah. And we've talked about Loom before. So what Loom is, it's a screen capture, but it also has your face on the video itself. And it's a little more interactive than just a screen capture. But using Loom is great for cutting down meetings because, for an example, in my office, there's a lot of times where we'll have a meeting just to show a new process. Hey, guys, I found a new way to do this. Or, guys, this isn't being done properly. We're going to have a meeting and show the proper way to do this, right? With Loom, we can get on really fast. I can run a complete like tutorial or something and share my screen, have my face right on there. And then I can just send it to everyone. So I don't need to make everyone stop what they're doing, bring everyone to the meeting room at a certain time. I can just send everyone a quick video Loom meeting and they can watch it at their, at whatever time's best for them. And it saves my time, it saves their time, and it really cuts down on meetings.
Well, it's incredible because a lot of meetings, the boss or the person in charge, they want to speak you know, they just want, they love to be the pulpit. They love to have the pulpit where they can just talk. And so that in itself is inefficient because everyone else is kind of like, why are we here? Why do we need to be here? You know, I say it's incredible. Some people just like to get into meetings and use that as a, how do you avoid that? How do you cut down on that person other than timing them, Errol?
Yeah, you know, because, you know, meetings, you can get into the groove, you can get into a habit. Like sometimes meetings are almost a place where you can just go sit back for a bit. You know, it's so really, I think if you want to motivate a company or motivate anyone for less meetings, number one is, you know, show them a piece of software that they can still be heard, but they don't really have to gather everyone into the same room. So Loom. Another point of consideration is just how much meetings actually cost. So if you have a boss who really likes bringing people together and then just talking a lot or being heard, the average meeting, there's different stats on this, but I read that the average meeting for like mid-level execs in the USA is like $1,000 a meeting or something around there. And I mean, that can greatly differ, right? I do know that meetings cost like billions of dollars per year, wasted meetings that aren't really efficient or don't really have a clear outcome. So I think when you take those two factors into effect, it's motivation in itself to cut down on meetings. And
I'm going to share with you, because there's the one with the parody on the conference call. It ran about 5-6 years ago when I was in the Middle East, maybe even 10 years ago. It's old now. I can't remember the name of the guy, but it was literally funny. It was a conference call in real time. So everybody's in the room, but they're on a conference call. It's brilliant, Errol, if you haven't seen it. It's
okay.
Okay, super funny. But like, I think meetings, as I said, like meetings have been around forever. Obviously, let's get together. Let's talk, right? It's still software itself. Like conference, when you have the shareholders meeting, let's take the biggest one, the board meeting or the shareholders meeting. Even those are inefficient if there are people at those meetings who don't care about the 20 topics or the 5 topics. They only have one topic. I have some suggestions of that, but what do you say to people like in a bigger company, bigger organizations?
Yeah. You know what? One thing I see, especially in these big meetings with many people, is sometimes a meeting, you might have 20 people in a meeting, but after like 2 or 3 minutes, 5 minutes, like one of those people, they don't even have to really be in the meeting anymore. Their part is done, right? And then from there, they're just sitting there listening to everything else. So I think there is a time and a place for these meetings, for long meetings, et cetera. But a good way to increase efficiency and to really get the most out of them is sometimes break one long meeting where you're dragging 20 people into to listen to everyone. If you're a person who needs to meet with all these people, you can just do a bunch of individual meetings much faster, and then you don't waste everyone else's time, right? But if it's a meeting where you're looking for input from everyone, or it does require, because there is an importance in having everyone at a meeting in some cases. I mean, there's never like a black and white. There's always a gray area with this, right? But if you can cut down on wasting everyone else's time by having like 5 or 6 meetings with small clusters of people, that makes sense, right? So,
okay. I mean, we could belabor this point. We could belabor this point, Errol, and have another meeting about this. But literally, Errol, let's sum this up. What are the three things we talked about today to make companies more efficient?
Yes, make companies more efficient. Suggestion number one was have a software person.
Yeah.
Have a software person, a person who's dedicated on the team to find software and to listen to everyone else's struggles or what's causing them difficulty and find software solutions to automate and speed up tasks. That was point number one. Point number two is using a task management system. A good example I gave is monday.com. A task management system takes big tasks, it breaks it down into smaller tasks, it gives everyone involved complete transparency and shows specific due dates and really communicates the task to the team in general. Number three was cutting down on meetings, having less meetings and making meetings more efficient. So by doing these three things, you can really increase the efficiency of your company.
Errol, thanks for taking your eye on to you. You know, these topics themselves could go forever. I mean, just three of them speak, make people, companies more efficient, makes people more efficient, makes our job easier. We probably wouldn't have this podcast, Errol, if those things didn't exist.
Yeah, exactly right. So, I mean, efficiency, always strive for efficiency. I like working less time, but having a higher output and, you know, not working as hard. That's what efficiency really is, right? So it's extremely important.
Errol, I recognize it's late there for you. So get off your high wall, your high horse. Get off the great wall, Errol, and get home to bed. So, all right, Errol, have a great rest of the week.
All right. Thanks, Alan. You as well.
Cheers.